Welcome again to Vineyard Church North Phoenix Online. If you happen to be joining us for the very first time today, I want to welcome you. As Pastor Brian said, my name is Keith and I'm one of the pastors here. And we as a church family are so glad that you're watching. We really do think of the church as a family. And one of the things that we love to do is to welcome somebody who might be new to the family. So if you are joining us for the first time or maybe the second or third time, maybe you've been watching us for a while, or maybe you've even joined us in person previously, but you've never let us know, please do us a favor. Let us know. Write guest in the chat. The first thing that's going to happen is our church family is going to welcome you. They are really good at this, so go get them, fam. The second thing that's gonna happen is one of our team members is gonna connect with you in a private chat, and they're gonna get some contact info from you, a mobile number or an email address, because I want to reach out to you personally by text or by email. Now, I know in our increasingly online world, a lot of people are just more comfortable with watching from the sidelines. I get that. And honestly, if that's where you're at, hey, that's fine. Honestly, we are glad that you're watching, whether you ever let us know or not. That's entirely up to you. However, I do believe that you're here for a reason. I believe that you are here with us today for a reason, that it's not a coincidence, and whatever circumstances led to you deciding to check us out for however long you've been checking us out, that was actually God working behind the scenes in your life. And we would love to come alongside you and discover that together. You know, when we gather like this, whether virtually or in person, we always sing some songs together, worshiping God for who he is and for all that he is doing in us and around us and through us. We study God's word, the Bible, together so that we can grow in our understanding of his purpose for our lives. And we give together. You know, God has truly blessed us as a church. And because of that, we are able to be a blessing to so many others here in our local community and even all around the world. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had our annual Single Mom Spa Day, where normally we would bless single moms with a day of pampering and spa services, but this time we got to bless 245 single moms with care packages, goodies for a little self-pampering, gift cards, and chocolate. All that to say, thank you to those of you who give to God's work regularly through the Vineyard. Your generosity is continuing to make a difference in people's lives, here in big ways and in little ways. You know, throughout this crisis, we have been able to keep our food bank open 7 days a week with a drive-through service. That's truly incredible. I pray that God blesses you as you give. And you can do that by clicking on the give button on your screen or by texting VCNP to 77977. Now let's pray for our offering and for the teaching today. Father God, we love you and we worship you. And God, we ask that as we give back to you, that you would continue to use that money to make a difference in people's lives. God, I pray you would bless those who give. And I also ask, God, that you would speak to us today from the Bible. God, that you would give me the gift of teaching and that you would let each of us hear from you what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I want to kick off today by reading some scripture together. Now, this is going to be Psalm 33. Verse 22, and it's going to be on the screen here, and I would like all of us to read this out loud together. Wherever you are, let's read this out loud. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Okay, confession time. Did anybody read that with a church voice? Do you know what I mean? This is maybe more for those of you who maybe grew up in the church or who grew up in a church tradition where reading scripture together out loud was part of your regular practice. You almost get like a cadence to it, like a rhythm to it. And nobody ever teaches us how to do this we just kind of pick it up. You know, let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Okay, so now let's read this again, but this time, read it just like you're having a conversation with God, like you're just talking to him, okay? Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Better? Maybe? Let's do it again. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Again. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Okay, we're going to do it one more time, but this time, it's not going to be on the screen. You can do this. I believe in you. You can do this. Ready? Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. How'd you do? Did you get it? Hey, if you didn't, that's okay. Keep working at it. Keep reading it. It's not a big deal. But if you did, congratulations. You just memorized a verse of scripture. Now, we are going to come back to that later on. So I just want you to kind of hold on to it in the back of your mind for now, okay? These are strange times, right? I mean, it seems like everything just changed so quickly, so suddenly. You know, when I think back over the last 2 or 3 months, it just seems so odd. You know, I could not have pictured this moment just a few weeks ago, me here preaching to an empty auditorium. These are strange times. And yet, there is something that's beautiful about this. There is something that I would dare say is transcendent, supernatural about this moment. See, because God has never been bound by space or time. In fact, God exists outside of space and time. God is the creator of space and time, and God also exists within space and time. He is over it, he is above it, and he is in it. The Apostle Peter reminds us that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Now, we as his people, we've grown accustomed to gathering together in a specific place at a specific time to honor him and to celebrate him and to experience his presence together. I mean, seriously, we've been doing it for thousands of years, and we'll continue to do it until he returns. But he is so much more than that. He is so much more than this moment in time right now. He is so much more than just in this place. He simply is. He is right here, right now, in this place where I am, in that place where you are. He is. Whether you're watching this on a Saturday evening or on a Sunday morning or el domingo por la tarde en español, he's there. Whatever day, whatever time, whatever place, God is here. Whenever your moment, wherever your place, God is here. And because of that, we are gathered together in a way that transcends space and time. Isn't that awesome? In fact, I've had the privilege over the last several weeks of becoming aware of and even becoming acquainted with people who are worshiping together with us at Vineyard North Phoenix all over the place, all over the Phoenix area, all over different parts of Arizona, people watching in California, shout out to Sacramento and to my friends in San Diego, and honestly, I can't possibly name every city in California, people watching in lots of different states, Colorado, Idaho, Ohio, Missouri, again, I can't possibly name them all, people who are watching all over the world. Shout out to our Vineyard family in Honduras, in the UK, in India, people watching in Nigeria, just to name a few. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Svagate. Welcome. We are living in what for most of us is an unprecedented time of uncertainty. We're living in a world of if right now. We're very used to living in the world of when. You know, we're used to making our plans with a when mindset. You know, we'll do such and such when this other thing happens, or, you know, when we do this, when we do that. But now it has become, if this happens, if that happens, if we can do this, if we can do that. And that if, it's become a blanket experience. It touches everything. You know, in my normal experience, one of my kids might get sick and might miss an event, a concert, a night with friends. Allison and I, my wife and I, we might have to suddenly change our plans because something happens. But that's the exception to the rule. That's not the normal, everyday reality. But right now, this is something that's been affecting everybody's everything. It's not just a single moment. It's not just a single shift and pivot. It's an ongoing uncertainty that sometimes feels like it just continues to cascade forward. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I've had an ongoing experience of feeling sadness as I've removed event after event from our family's calendar. And listen, it's okay to be sad about those things. It's okay to be sad about losing those things that we'd been looking forward to. Sadness is a normal human emotion. God created us in his image to experience a wide range of emotions, including sadness. We see Jesus experience sadness. It's okay to feel sad, but we don't have to live there. These are uncertain times, but these are also hopeful times. Honestly, I feel like that's something God has been speaking to me for weeks. And one of the ways that he has shown it to me is by reminding me that we, as followers of Jesus, we are a big family. We are all over the world. That gives me hope because it reminds me that God is at work in every other space, in every other time. And that reminds me that he is not only at work right here, right here, and right then, and right there, but that he has always been at work everywhere. And he will always be at work everywhere. Hebrews 13, verse 8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth is, life has always been uncertain. God has been and always will be the same, but life has always been uncertain. We had just gotten used to it being relatively predictable. I mean, stuff comes out of nowhere all the time. Think about your own life. You fill in your own blanks, but you know, tires wear out, cars break down, we get an unexpected bill, or worse, maybe you've experienced hurt from a loved one, or maybe you've been hurt because of something that happened to someone you care about. Life has always been uncertain. In fact, the Bible is full of stories and accounts of uncertain times, and yet through it all, God's story continues. God's plan continues to unfold. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. Life would never be the same for them. When God led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, everything changed. And in fact, their feelings about leaving Egypt go through a lot of changes over the course of their journey to God's promised home for them. They celebrate when they leave. God has heard their cry for help. He's taken justice into his own hands and brought them away from their oppressors. It's a good thing. But after a while, they're not so sure what he's up to. Now, we can look back and know the whole story, and we know that he did lead them to the promised land, but while they were in the middle of it, they weren't so sure what he was doing. They start to complain. God brought us out to the desert to die. Remember when we were in Egypt and we had really good food? Like, seriously, they're remembering the food. You know, not the part about, hey, remember when we were slaves, or hey, remember when the Egyptians drowned all of our male babies, but hey, the food was good, right? The book of Hebrews says faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, the people of Israel were hoping for their own homeland. They were living in the reality of the faith that God was leading them home, and God would lead them home. Their faith wasn't always strong. They lost hope often, but after 40 years, God proved his faithfulness and he brought them home. Now, let me be clear, and let me maybe remind you that hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not the same as wishful thinking. We have a tendency to use the word hope to indicate something that we wish for. I hope I get a bike for Christmas. I hope this movie's good. I hope I win the Powerball. When we use the word hope like that, we're actually indicating that we believe that there is a good possibility that what we are hoping for or wishing for won't actually happen. Especially when we're placing that order for takeout. I hope they remember the chips and salsa. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is also not positive thinking. It's not just thinking positively about situations or about the future. Being an optimist is not the same thing as having hope. Now, I'm a fairly optimistic person. It doesn't mean I automatically have hope. Optimists can lose hope. And pessimists or realists can also be hopeful. And listen, this applies both to real positive thinking and false positive thinking. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about those lies that we sometimes tell or maybe oftentimes tell to other people when our lives feel like they're completely falling apart. You know, oh, I'm fine. Everything's great. See how much I'm smiling? Being a follower of Jesus does not mean ignoring reality. It does not mean pasting a fake smile on your face and just pretending that everything is okay. It's okay to not be okay. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not positive thinking. So what is hope? Hope is confident expectation. Hope is when I realize that God is in control. If the optimist sees the glass as half full and the pessimist sees the glass as half empty and the realist sees the glass as completely full, half with water and half with air, having hope means that I can see that the glass is firmly held in the hand of God. When I see that, when I realize that God is in control, it changes everything. When I realize that God's plan will ultimately prevail, then I have hope. Andy Stanley from North Point Church, he describes hope like a ladder that we lean against a wall. That wall is where we've placed our hope. Wherever we place our hope, we take that ladder and we lean it on that thing or that person. You know, when we're born, we're completely unaware of it, but we lean that ladder against our parents' ability to take care of us. And as we get older, we move that ladder to lean against other walls. And we might lean it against our own confidence in our own abilities. We might lean that ladder against our ability to do well in school and earn a scholarship. We might lean that ladder against our ability to connect with people or our ability to maintain relationships. We might lean that ladder of hope onto something that will support our ambitions or our aspirations. We probably even start leaning multiple ladders of hope up against all different kinds of walls in our lives: relationships, financial achievement, talent, personal ability. When we do that, when we lean that ladder against that thing or that person or that relationship, that is where we have placed our hope. And then when that thing, that wall, turns out to not be as strong as we thought it was, that ladder comes crashing down and we lose hope. Now let's go back to that verse we memorized earlier. Do you remember it? Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Our hope is in God alone. God is the only wall we can lean that ladder up against that will never fall down. Guys, we're in the desert. And no, I don't just mean those of us here in Phoenix. Yes, we are in the actual, literal desert. But we are all in the desert of uncertainty, and not just because of a global pandemic of a disease. Yes, that's heightened our awareness of it by taking away some of the comforts that we've gotten used to. We can see the desert better now. We're more aware of how wrong things really are, but things have always been wrong. Life has always been uncertain. We can just see that more clearly now. Now listen, I am not saying that we shouldn't make plans. I am not saying that we shouldn't look forward to good things in life. No, make plans, look forward to good things, but don't lean your hopes there. Just like the children of Israel, leaving Egypt and moving to the promised land, we have a hope for more, and that's all that we've ever really had. Our true hope, our real hope is in God alone. The hope that he is leading us to better. We can't see it now, but it's coming. If we could see it, we wouldn't need to hope. That's why Hebrews 11 says that faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and that faith is the evidence of the things that we cannot see. If we could see it, we don't need faith. If we could see it, we wouldn't need hope. Now, when I skip to the end of the book, I know how the story turns out. I know that God's ultimate plan for this world and for you and for me is to create everything new again. A new heaven and a new earth recreated the way it was meant to be all along. That is the true promised land. That is what waits for us all at the desert of uncertainty. That is why I can place my ultimate hope in God alone. So let me ask you today, where is your ladder leaning? Where is your hope? Where is your hope really? Where have you leaned that ladder? Have you leaned it onto something that's really just wishful thinking? Have you leaned it onto something that's really just positive thinking? Again, I'm not saying don't wish for things. I'm not saying don't think positively, but is that where you've placed your hope? Now, honestly, I do believe that eventually life will get back to mostly normal. Mostly normal. That is, you know, the way we were used to it before. I don't think it's going to be 100% exactly the same, but I think that eventually, it's going to take some time, but it will look mostly the same as it did before. I could be wrong. Look at the person next to you or your dog or your cat or whatever and say, Keith could be wrong. But if I'm honest, I don't know if I really want it to be exactly the same. I hope that these strange times change us some. I hope at least a little. I hope that they cause us to be a little more thoughtful, a little more appreciative of the comforts and the conveniences that we're used to, a little more appreciative of a hug or even a high five, a little more appreciative of being able to just be in the same room with another human being, but also a little better understanding of real hope. Right now, at this moment, whenever this moment is for you, where is your hope? The band's gonna play a song, and I would like you to use these few minutes to really consider where your hope is. You can sing along if you want to, but I really want you to take this time with God to talk about your hopes. Maybe your ladders have fallen down all over the place, or maybe they're really starting to shake. Take these few minutes to do some business with God, and if you find that there's something you need to confess to him, do that. And then make a new commitment today to place your hope in him. And then I'll come back and close the service.
take every dream away. It's to be my risen one, the place where my hope comes from. Life could break, it'd still be my saving grace, my promise of all to come, the place where my hope comes from. I've been chosen by your hand, through forgiveness called your friend, and now you're here with me. Loose my chains and took my shame. On the cross you bore my pain. Jesus died for me. Life could take every dream away. You'd still be my risen one, the place where my hope comes from. Life could break, it'd still be my saving grace, my promise of all to come, the place where my hope comes from. It's a gift we don't deserve, a treasure we cannot earn. You paid the price. Now a life that offers more, in a cross that said it all, a perfect sacrifice. Take every dream away, still be my reason.
Will you pray with me? Father, please help us to truly place all of our hope in you. Help us to trust in you alone. We know that you have more for us, and we know that there is more to come. Lead us in your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like somebody to pray with you right now, we would love to do that. All you have to do is click on that live prayer button, and someone from our ministry team will connect with you in a private chat so that they can pray for you. Thank you so much for joining us again today. Don't forget to see us at 11:40 on Facebook every day, every weekday at 11:40. One of our pastors or leaders gives a live devotional. We'd love to see you there. We'll see you next week. God bless.